We come before you this evening, and Lord, we're grateful for what you've already done in our hearts today. Thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to worship you and the good spirit in your house today, and a good responsiveness to singing and preaching and fellowship, and just good to be a part of a church family, in particular this one. And Lord, what you've given us here is something that only you could do, and we're grateful for it. Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that we'd not just open our minds, but we open our hearts. And as you speak to us, Lord, that we would discern the things that you are giving us from your word. And Lord, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to bring application right into our lives. And open our hearts to make decisions that will glorify you, that will edify each one of us in our faith, that will embolden us to share the gospel with people who need to hear it. And I pray that you would use Brother Reese as he declares your truth tonight. And God, we pray if there's one especially here who is not saved, that today would be the day they come and trust you as their Savior, and all to your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you all had a good afternoon. After I preached, me and my wife went out to eat with Brother Bill Oakes, and we had an awesome time there. And then we went home. I got a nap. But it was one of those naps where it wasn't long enough to give you rest. It was just long enough to make you more tired. So y'all know what I'm talking about. But it was a good time of rest. But I'm excited for this message tonight. We learned this morning about how Daniel got himself in the lion's den. We learned that his co-workers decided that they were going to find something wrong with Daniel. And praise the Lord, after they looked up and down and dug deep into his life, they couldn't find anything. May that be said of us as well. If our lives are put on trial, may our lives reflect that of Daniel's, which reflects that of the Lord's, that if someone were to look deep enough for flaws and faults in our lives, that they could say, I can't find anything. We know that we're all sinners. We know that we're never going to achieve sinless perfection. Let's let that be our goal. Every single day, let's strive to be more like Jesus in this process of sanctification. It's never going to be complete until we get to heaven. But while we're here on earth, let's strive to be more like Jesus every single day. So they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel, so they decide cleverly to make up a new law, which would indeed trap Daniel and corner him into having to pray and having to do these things. So in turn, he would be breaking a law that they hadn't written yet, but they were like, that's a good idea. Let's write a law about something that he already does. So when he does it, we can say, I gotcha. So they do. And according to the law of the Medes and Persians, Darius writes the law. And according to the law of the Medes and Persians, it can't be changed. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar could change the law. Darius doesn't have that power to change the law under the Medes and Persians. So the law is written, and we learned how in that lose-lose situation, Daniel still prioritized three things. Daniel prioritized opportunity over obligation. He saw that as an opportunity to worship the Lord rather than to, wow, it's something that I have to do. And we saw two other priorities of Daniel that I think it spoke to my heart. I hope it spoke to your heart as well. But nonetheless, it found Daniel in the lion's den. Sometimes you can do everything right in life, yet still find yourself in a really messy situation. The other side of that, sometimes we put ourselves into those situations, do we not? With our dumb choices, we can make dumb choices, and then we have to deal with the consequences, and then we look at it and say, oh Lord, you're really testing my faith now. No, that's just you being dumb. That's you having to deal with the consequences of your actions. But sometimes, we do everything right. We go to church, pray, we read our Bible. God sends trial into our lives, financially, health-wise, whatever the case may be. It really causes you to question, why? Why would God send this to me? Doing my best, why would God put me in this situation? Daniel chapter 6. We left off with verse number 17. Verse number 17 is some pretty bad news for Daniel. Daniel finds himself in the lion's den, face to face with ferocious lions. Daniel chapter 6. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in to see if Daniel survives and truths that we can glean from Daniel's life. Let's pray. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit and allow me to say the things that you want me to say, but not say the things that you don't want me to say. God, I ask that you would help us learn three truths from your word today that will help us when we find ourselves in the lion's den. Thank you once again for all the blessings that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 18. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. You know what's interesting to me? We hear this phrase a lot, but I don't think we fully understand it. But this is a perfect illustration. The safest place to be is right in the center of God's will. Daniel was in the middle of a lion's den, surrounded with hungry lions. Darius was in a castle, protected, with a bed, with servants. Darius was more distraught than Daniel was. Because it's not about where you are in life, it's who you're with in life. And when you're in the middle of God's will, there's a peace that comes. If you find yourself in the middle of a trial, take rest. If you've been doing everything right, if you have been living for God and just God just gives you something difficult in your life, take rest, because the safest place for you to be right now is right where you are. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Darius can't sleep. Darius is distraught. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Have you ever asked a question that you were afraid to get the answer to? Maybe it was a senior in high school. They're putting in applications for college, and they get a letter, and they want to know the answer. They want to open it, but at the same time, it's a little nerve-wracking, and they have some hesitancy about them. Maybe it's a trip to the doctor that the doctor is about to give you the prescription, and you want to know what it is, but there's still a hesitancy, like, I want to know, but I don't want to know. And I think that's where Darius is in this story. At the end of the message this morning, Darius said, Daniel, I know thy God is going to deliver thee, right before the stone rolled across the den. I think he had some doubt in his voice when he said that. I don't think he was saying that confidently. I think he was saying that kind of as a comfort for Daniel rather than a statement of truth. So Darius, some great hesitancy, and he's really nervous. Darius goes to the stone in the morning, and he rolls back the stone, and he says, Daniel, are you alive? See the response. Verse number 21. Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Darius comes, and you can almost see the excitement, yet the nerves with wanting to know the answer, but not wanting to know the answer. He says, Daniel, are you alive? And if I'm Daniel, I'm down in the den, and I'm doing a really long, dramatic pause. I want to keep the king very on his seat. So if I'm Daniel, maybe I wake up to the sound of Darius, and I just pause for a little bit. Yes, I'm alive, king. And you can almost hear the sigh of relief. Oh, thank goodness. Here's three lessons that we can learn when you find yourself in the den. There's three, if you're taking notes, it's three qualities that you need when you find yourself in the den. Here's a quick note. These qualities don't come from yourself. These are qualities that you have to ask the Lord to give you when you find yourself in a trial. The first quality that I see exhibited in Daniel's life, faith. Verse 23. And the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in God. His faith. John, can I have you come up here? He and Sean are good buddies. He just started coming to youth group a couple weeks ago. I have a question for you, okay? Do you trust me?
Yeah.
You trust me?
Yeah.
Do you trust me? Whatever I ask you to do, you'll do it, and you have confidence that you'll be fine.
No.
Sit down. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to need you to trust me.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to need you to have confidence in what I'm asking you to do, you're going to be okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to put this tie around your eyes. I'm going to blindfold you. Actually, I'm going to put this side.
Are you going to throw me down the
earth? I don't know. You'll have to find out. Here, can you hold that right here?
Yeah.
Okay. We're learning about what faith is at Sean's expense.
Oh, man.
You see anything?
No.
Are you sure?
I've got my eyes closed anyway.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you stand up on this chair. Okay? Do you feel the chair?
Yeah.
Okay. Get up on the chair.
Okay.
Okay. The chair?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to face this way.
This way?
Okay. Just stand still. And I'm going to get behind you.
Okay.
Feel me?
Yep.
Okay. Now, when I count down from three, I want you to fall. I promise that you're going to be okay.
Okay.
Okay? Don't bend your knees.
Okay.
Don't bend your knees.
Okay.
Just fall straight back.
Okay.
Ready? Three, two, one.
Yay!
Good job, Sean. Everyone give Sean a round of applause.
I'm alive.
You can have a seat.
Okay, thanks
for actually, time. You can't have a seat just yet. You can't have a seat just yet.
Yeah,
you can have that seat.
Okay.
I want to put this around your eyes one more time. Can you lift it up? Put it around your eyes?
Yeah.
You can't see anything?
Uh-uh.
You promise?
Promise.
Okay, get back up on the chair. I want you to face this way. Okay? You okay?
Yep.
Okay. Now listen to me, okay, Sean?
Blindfold's gonna fall, but my eyes are closed.
Okay, your eyes are closed.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah?
I want you to fall back.
Backwards?
I want you to fall backwards. And Sean?
Yeah?
Promise if you fall, you're gonna be okay. I want you to fall back. Ready?
Backwards.
Three, two, one. Oh, good job, Sean. Good job. That was awesome. You can take the blindfold off now. You trusted me. That's awesome. You didn't let me down. I did. The first time I did that, they let me down, and they just collapsed on the chair and started crying. So I'm glad you didn't. Really, I'm being dead serious right now. Great job, Sean. Faith is not standing on the chair knowing that someone's behind you. That's not what faith is. Faith is when you have no way of knowing that someone's going to catch you. You fall back. A lot of times we have a soft view of what faith is. We say it's faith to fill in the blank. Maybe it's to give a certain amount. And we do things by faith, but true faith has no human explanation. When you step out faith, you don't know if someone's behind you because you think that that person is in front of you. Daniel exhibited true faith in the lion's den. There's no human explanation to explain how a man can go down in a lion's den with hungry lions and come out alive 12 hours later. There's just no human explanation for that. There's probably not a human explanation for what you're going through right now. You may be saying, I have no idea how this situation is going to work out. I've run the numbers, I've done my research, and there's just no possible way. You're in a prime position where you can exhibit faith to God. This is what scratches my head. This is what makes me scratch my head. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20 says, And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mustard seed is very small. It's not like an apple seed where it's very visible and distinguishable. The mustard seed is almost kind of like a film, baby powder almost. Where one seed is very indistinguishable from the next seed. It's very small. So how come God said, You can move a mountain, you can move the sleeping ute, the grain, size of the grain of a mustard seed. You see, the measurement of faith is not about the quantity. It's not about big faith and small faith. The measurement of faith is duration. How long does your faith last? Because you go back to when Peter stepped out of the boat. What an incredible story in and of itself. Peter stepped out of the boat onto rushing winds and roaring waters, and he stepped out and he started walking on water. He started walking to Jesus. That's great faith. Took one step. Maybe there's a fish that went right over his foot, and he's like, whoa. He took another step, and he took another step. As soon as he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Jesus didn't leave him, picked him up. Jesus responded with something so profound. He said, oh, ye of little faith. It's not because Peter had small faith. It's because Peter's faith didn't stand the test of time. I wonder, when Daniel was in the lion's den, sitting on the rock, I wonder if there was ever a time when he started to doubt. Saw the lions, maybe one brushed up right next to his leg. I wonder if there was ever a moment where he started to doubt. I don't think that there was. Because if he started doubting, I think that the same thing that happened to Peter would have happened to him. That God's deliverance would be removed. Maybe when he started trusting again, then the lion's mouth would be shut. I don't know. It's incredible to me, not the size of faith, the length of faith that Daniel exhibited for 12 hours, with lions all about him, never once doubting that God could take care of him. You have faith that God can take care of you. Whatever you're going through, financial need, health need, spiritual need, do you have faith that God can take care of you? Our God is very capable of rescuing and taking care of his children. He owns it all. It has to do with the theme of the book of Daniel. God is sovereign. He rules over his creation, and he can do with his creation as he will. Do you realize that God is in complete control of your situation? No matter how absurd your situation may seem, God is in control. If you're going through something so terrible in your life right now, find yourself in the den, the first thing that you need to do is you need to have faith that God is able to deliver you, because he is. First quality that you need in the den is faith. Second quality that you need, a quality that I do not like very much, patience. I'm a very impatient person. I like food right now. I like waiting. I like to ride on the ride, the roller coaster now. I want the fast pass. I don't want to wait in the 2-hour line. I'm just not a very patient person. Last Friday, we went to Durango and we met up with a very distant relative of ours, my fourth cousin. And it turns out that this guy is the coach for the United States national climbing team, rock climbing. The real deal. He's done documentaries before. He's trained in the Olympics before. He's an incredible person, and we got to meet him, and it almost gave my grandma a heart attack. I think she's watching tonight, so I'm telling the story again. Close your ears, Gran. Marcus is his name. He told me that if I got in contact with him, that we could go on an ice-picking excursion together where we climb glaciers and stuff. So I'm going to be doing that in the spring. Y'all probably will need a new youth pastor, unfortunately. It was really cool. We got to meet this guy. Well, we're wanting to eat, and so we put in our reservations for multiple places, and one of the wait times was literally 85 to 100 minutes. It's a long time. I don't like to wait. I don't think anyone in their right mind likes to wait. Maybe you do. Maybe you're just weird, but I don't like to wait. I like fast food. I like just what I want right now. I want it now. I don't want to wait for it. Daniel exhibited a quality patience during this trial. It's easy for me to engage the imagination for little kids, but I want to really engage your imagination, so I'm going to need your help. Okay? I want everyone to close their eyes. Everyone to close their eyes. Poor Daniel. We're in the lion's den. Stone has been shut. You know that you have to wait with roaring lions, hungry lions, all about you. You see it in your mind? Imagine waiting 12 hours in the den. Waiting is very difficult. It's been probably 45 seconds. Can you imagine doing that for 12 hours? You can look up here. Some people are going through trials that have lasted years. About out of patience. Just want it to be over. I don't blame you for wanting it to be over. The only way you're going to get out of this den is patience. Like how James puts it in James 3, 1, 3 through 4. Knowing this, the trying of your faith, that's the first thing. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, an entire wanting nothing. You know what makes patience a little bit easier? There's something that makes it easier. Not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but there is something that makes patience easier. That's company. Because you don't have to wait alone. Daniel wasn't in the lion's den alone. Verse 22 said, my God hath sent angel. You find yourself in a really tough situation, just know that yes, it's going to be hard, but you have a Savior that is walking every step of the way with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me. This is also one of the coolest points of the entire thing. Angel mentioned there is probably the same angel that appeared to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. That same angel was the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ. Daniel never would have seen Christ if he wasn't in the den. The very situation that you are in right now might have you experience Christ that like you've never experienced him before. Daniel would have played it safe. If Daniel would have done probably what I would have done and closed the windows for those 30 days, Daniel would have never gotten to experience the real life presence of Christ. And if you're in the den, if you're going through a really tough trial, and I know there are people going through really hard trials in here, and you might be in a prime position to experience Christ like you've never experienced him before. But that's only going to come with patience. Have faith. Have patience. Third quality I see is grace. What do you do when you're in the lion's den? Well, first, you need to have faith. You need to have patience. Third, you need to have grace. Looking at this story of Daniel 6, what's amazing to me isn't what Daniel said, it's what Daniel didn't say. There's only two verses in this entire scripture where Daniel is recorded having dialect. He actually speaks, and that's verse 21 and 22. The rest of the verses, Daniel has his mouth shut. If it were me, I know I would have had my mouth open. I would have been defending my position when they were about to throw me in the lion's den. I would have been screaming and kicking probably. I would have done everything in my power not to be thrown into the lion's den. But here's Daniel. Through it all. When the princes come to take him to the king, okay, an 80-year-old man, and they're pleading their case to throw Daniel in the lion's den, you don't hear anything from Daniel. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, and Darius says, I know you're going to be okay. You don't hear a response from Daniel. Grace exudes from Daniel's life. In this moment, when we're going through really hard times, it's hard to have grace. It's easy to rant. It's easy to complain. It's easy to post it on social media and Facebook and get a couple likes and sympathy. You don't see that from Daniel. You see a life that exhibits what only could be explained by the grace of God. And when Daniel does respond, he responds so graciously. He says, O King, live forever. That was me, I'd probably responded, yes, I'm alive, get me out of here, and throw those princes and presidents in, which we'll read about in a little bit. But that's not what Daniel says. Daniel says, O King, live forever. God hath sent his angel and hath shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. And that's all the dialect of Daniel. When you're in a tough situation, you need to have God's grace. Same grace that made Paul respond in the way he did to the thorn in the flesh. Turn over quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The quicker we can learn this truth from Paul, the better off we will be. It's not an easy truth to learn at all because we like to be in control. But this statement by Paul expresses that the control is not in himself, but it's in God. For 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. Paul has this thorn in the flesh, and he's gone to the Lord multiple times, saying, Lord, please take this away from me. Listen what the Lord has said to him. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This weakness right now in your life is an opportunity for God's grace to shine bright. Your life, in other lives around you, what an opportunity you have if you're going through a trial to see Christ's strength in your weaknesses. I think the best place to be is in a position of weakness. Not the easiest place to be in. We like to be in control financially and healthfully. We like to be in control, but the best place to be in your relationship with God is a position of weakness. Daniel was in a very vulnerable position. Because he was in a vulnerable position, that allowed God to give much grace to Daniel. Grace is available to you tonight. Grace is available to you every single day. The same grace that comforted Daniel in the lion's den is the same grace that's offered to you. It's not different grace. It's not Walmart brand and Nike grace. It's not a drop-off in quality. It's the exact same grace that God offers to you. Hebrews 4 says, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God's grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for you. Let's look how the story ends. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. That's a miracle in and of itself that he was okay. There's an 80-year-old man being lifted up out of the lion's den. And let's look at the next phrase. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Deliverance from the den. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Imagine a dog with a chew toy slinging it around. That's kind of how I picture these lions, the princes and presidents. The lions had mastery for them, children, their wives. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Kind of ironic that he declares peace right after he threw them into the lion's den, but I don't know. I guess he was feeling peaceful. Make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end, delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I want to close with us looking at verse 27 through the lens of whatever problem that you're going through. Maybe you have gone through a problem and you have seen deliverance. I'll read it through the lens with knowing that God has given you victory. If you're not going through a problem, claim this promise and remember this promise whenever you are going through a really tough situation. Verse number 27, he delivereth, rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered you from the power of the lions. Whatever situation you're going through, there is deliverance. Not in self-effort, but in God. Let's have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes.